Вариант 26.
Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит два раза. После первого и второго прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер один. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «AF» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
Our family is very small. I'm an only child and my father's deceased, so it's always just my mom and me. We have a wonderful time on Thanksgiving, though, because we usually start putting up all the holiday decorations and it's great fun. It's nice in a way, but I must admit I'm envious of big, loud family dinners, especially during the holidays. Today I'm going to an old friend's for Thanksgiving dinner. I have almost always gone there since I was 10. It's loud and cozy there on Thanksgiving. I feel blessed to know them.
Speaker B.
Well, we're a family of atheists and we never do anything religious. Of course, my children know the story behind religious holidays, as I do feel it is important to be educated in prominent religions and culture, just as I feel it's important to be educated in Greek and Roman mythology. I don't believe in it, but there are still lessons to be learned. For us, Christmas, as well as other holidays, is all about having family and friends around. We make sure not to spend a lot of money on presents, because that's not what we want Christmas to be about.
Speaker C.
Well, I'm a witch and I practice Wicca, so here is what we do for holidays. I read about the origins of the holiday, where it came from, what traditions are associated with it. Then we do an activity to celebrate that holiday. Each holiday has different crafts and rituals to do. When my son's old enough, I will explain what the Christians believe in and how throughout history things have changed into modern Christian belief system. I think it's necessary to understand what we believe in and how we celebrate, and why we differ from other religions.
Speaker D.
To tell the truth, I grew up without celebrating Thanksgiving or Christmas because my parents didn't believe in that type of stuff. I can honestly tell you that it has affected me in some ways. When I spent my first Christmas with my boyfriend's family, I cried my eyes out. I wish my parents celebrated Thanksgiving or Christmas with me. I don't blame them for not doing it, but honestly, I wish I had that type of memory. Celebrating a holiday is not about whether it's good or bad. What really counts is the memory that it leaves.
Speaker E.
I don't celebrate any religious holidays, but I do participate in holiday activities, simply because I find them enjoyable and entertaining. Throwing Halloween dinner parties and Christmas potlucks are my favourite things to do. They give me a chance to socialise and meet new friends and neighbours, and also to show off my cute little Halloween cupcakes. They should give you a chance to be a kid again, not the opposite. Dress up and have fun with it. I agree with others that especially these days, holidays are more to do with entertainment than with religion.
Speaker F.
People all over the world traditionally celebrate such common holidays as Easter, Christmas, or New Year. But of course, each country has its own traditional holidays connected with its history and culture. For example, Americans celebrate Thanksgiving Day to follow the traditions of the first settlers. I believe we have incredible holidays, and most Americans love to get involved in one way or another. Some countries have no holidays or parades, and others only have two or three. I think we need holidays and traditions because they help us understand who we are.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
Our family's very small. I'm an only child and my father's deceased, so it's always just my mum and me. We have a wonderful time on Thanksgiving, though, because we usually start putting up all the holiday decorations and it's great fun. It's nice in a way, but I must admit I'm envious of big, loud family dinners, especially during the holidays. Today I'm going to an old friend's for Thanksgiving dinner. I have almost always gone there since I was 10. It's loud and cozy there on Thanksgiving. I feel blessed to know them.
Speaker B.
Well, we're a family of atheists and we never do anything religious. Of course, my children know the story behind religious holidays, as I do feel it is important to be educated in prominent religions and culture, just as I feel it's important to be educated in Greek and Roman mythology. I don't believe in it, but there are still lessons to be learned. For us, Christmas, as well as other holidays, is all about having family and friends around. We make sure not to spend a lot of money on presents, because that's not what we want Christmas to be about.
Speaker C.
Well, I'm a witch and I practice Wicca, so here is what we do for holidays. I read about the origins of the holiday, where it came from, what traditions are associated with it. Then we do an activity to celebrate that holiday. Each holiday has different crafts and rituals to do. When my son's old enough, I will explain what the Christians believe in and how throughout history things have changed into modern Christian belief system. I think it's necessary to understand what we believe in and how we celebrate, and why we differ from other religions.
Speaker D.
To tell the truth, I grew up without celebrating Thanksgiving or Christmas because my parents didn't believe in that type of stuff. I can honestly tell you that it has affected me in some ways. When I spent my first Christmas with my boyfriend's family, I cried my eyes out. I wish my parents celebrated Thanksgiving or Christmas with me. I don't blame them for not doing it, but honestly, I wish I had that type of memory. Celebrating a holiday is not about whether it's good or bad. What really counts is the memory that it leaves.
Speaker E.
I don't celebrate any religious holidays, but I do participate in holiday activities, simply because I find them enjoyable and entertaining. Throwing Halloween dinner parties and Christmas potlucks are my favourite things to do. They give me a chance to socialise and meet new friends and neighbours, and also to show off my cute little Halloween cupcakes. They should give you a chance to be a kid again, not the opposite. Dress up and have fun with it. I agree with others that especially these days, holidays are more to do with entertainment than with religion.
Speaker F.
People all over the world traditionally celebrate such common holidays as Easter, Christmas, or New Year. But of course, each country has its own traditional holidays connected with its history and culture. For example, Americans celebrate Thanksgiving Day to follow the traditions of the first settlers. I believe we have incredible holidays, and most Americans love to get involved in one way or another. Some countries have no holidays or parades, and others only have two or three. I think we need holidays and traditions because they help us understand who we are.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Ella, every time you set off on a trip to some exotic location, we all feel very envious.
Yes, most people would consider it one of the best jobs in the world. So how can I tell you that without fail, each time I have to go away, the days before I go are filled with a sense of dread? I'd live without all that traveling if I could.
So once you're at your destination, can anything go wrong?
Well, there's a lot of pressure to come back with photographs. This is not an easy task when the models are in a bad mood and the hairdresser is depressed, that sort of thing. All of this happened to me, and yet the editors understandably want happy, smiling pictures with blue sea and blue skies. You can't blame them for that. They're only doing their job.
You've just returned from Mauritius. That place really is paradise, isn't it?
Oh, yes. But we were there to work, remember? We need to shoot 3 different fashion stories, so we had several assistants, a makeup and hair team, and 4 models. What we were not expecting is that because it was so hot and sunny, we couldn't shoot between midday and 4 in the afternoon. Sounds good until you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to be ready as the sun rises.
And then I understand you had an unpleasant experience on the way back.
Yes, the flight lasts 13 hours, 4 to Nairobi, and then there's an hour stop over there, and then another 8 hours to London. Well, 3 hours into the flight, the captain told us there was a problem, and we won't be able to land in Nairobi. The plane skidded on the runway and wouldn't move. I suppose we would have felt worse if he had told us there was something wrong with our plane.
So you flew direct to London?
No, because we didn't have enough fuel, so we landed again 4 hours later in Uganda. We were then told we had to stay in Uganda at least 8 hours for the crew to rest. I wouldn't have minded that so much, except that we had to take all our luggage with us. Locating all our suitcases and bags, loading them onto minibuses was a nightmare. 25 suitcases contained thousands of pounds worth of clothes, plus 3 trolleys with expensive photographic equipment.
So it was one of those trips when absolutely nothing goes well.
The photos were okay, so it was worth it in the end. I think, though, that the true value of the experience is what it taught me about the members of my team. It was wonderful to see how supportive of each other they were. I had this idea that in this profession it was everyone for himself, so to speak. So, in that respect, it's been very positive.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Ella, every time you set off on a trip to some exotic location, we all feel very envious.
Yes, most people would consider it one of the best jobs in the world. So how can I tell you that without fail, each time I have to go away, the days before I go are filled with a sense of dread? I'd live without all that traveling if I could.
So once you're at your destination, can anything go wrong?
Well, there's a lot of pressure to come back with photographs. This is not an easy task when the models are in a bad mood and the hairdresser is depressed, that sort of thing. All of this happened to me, and yet the editors understandably want happy, smiling pictures with blue sea and blue skies. You can't blame them for that. They're only doing their job.
You've just returned from Mauritius. That place really is paradise, isn't it?
Oh, yes. But we were there to work, remember? We need to shoot 3 different fashion stories, so we had several assistants, a makeup and hair team, and 4 models. What we were not expecting is that because it was so hot and sunny, we couldn't shoot between midday and 4 in the afternoon. Sounds good until you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to be ready as the sun rises.
And then I understand you had an unpleasant experience on the way back.
Yes, the flight lasts 13 hours, four to Nairobi, and then there's an hour stop over there, and then another 8 hours to London. Well, 3 hours into the flight, the captain told us there was a problem, and we won't be able to land in Nairobi. The plane skidded on the runway and won't move. I suppose we would have felt worse if he had told us there was something wrong with our plane.
So you flew direct to London?
No, because we didn't have enough fuel, so we landed again 4 hours later in Uganda. We were then told we had to stay in Uganda at least 8 hours for the crew to rest. I wouldn't have minded that so much, except that we had to take all our luggage with us. Locating all our suitcases and bags, loading them onto minibuses was a nightmare. 25 suitcases contained thousands of pounds worth of clothes, plus 3 trolleys with expensive photographic equipment.
So it was one of those trips when absolutely nothing goes well.
The photos were okay, so it was worth it in the end. I think, though, that the true value of the experience is what it taught me about the members of my team. It was wonderful to see how supportive of each other they were. I had this idea that in this profession it was everyone for himself, so to speak. So, in that respect, it's been very positive.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите рассказ ученого о своем обучении в школе и университете. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
I was born in Brisbane. I was brought up for the first 7 or 8 years in Gatton Agricultural College, which was a good place to be brought up in. My father was an agronomist, and at that time he was running a fairly small research lab on the grounds of the Agricultural College. I can remember lots of glass houses and pots with plants in them being given different fertiliser treatments. At night time my father would be there, pounding away at a calculating machine. It quite put me off biology. On the other hand, he had a hobby, which was audio amplifiers. So I can also remember huge electronic amplifiers, loudspeakers, and very loud classical music, which was rather louder than I could put up with. In any event, it did give me something of a feel for classical music. I went to various state schools until the year before what was called the scholarship year in Queensland. My father got a job in Ceylon, so I was sent off to boarding school and enjoyed myself very much, particularly having realised that I was not terribly keen on the politically correct sports of cricket and football. I joined a mob of kids who took to gymnastics. We became quite good at it and became quite respectable in the eyes of the school, so life improved greatly after that. The most important thing about the school was our maths teacher. He was a superb teacher and seemed to know the right balance between learning by rote and the understanding of something. To be honest, I don't go along with the current philosophy that you have to understand something before you can learn it. I think, in most things in life, it is exactly the opposite, particularly multiplication tables and things like that. If you don't learn to rote learn, you are missing a lot in life.
That is my philosophy, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, it was his teaching that carried me through at least the first couple of years of university mathematics. I went to university and majored in physics. I nearly failed the first year. I was living in St. John's College, and it was a great change from the constraints of a boarding school to the lack of constraints in a university college. I had a very good time. I can remember, in the middle of a physics exam at the end of the first year, suddenly realising that I could probably fail this subject because I hadn't done any work in it. But I just made it by the skin of my teeth. I enjoyed university life, but I can't really remember any of the lecturers or even the subjects much. I can remember that one of my pieces of luck was that my father had introduced me at an early age to a book called The Radio Amateur's Handbook. That was a superb book for teaching you the practicalities of electronics. In those days, if you didn't know any electronics, you didn't get very far in physics. Just the reading of that book when I had been a young teenager made a tremendous difference as to what I could get away with in the university. Indeed, I got a high distinction in physics in my second year. That little incident where I nearly failed the first year was also fortunate, because it gave me such a fright that I worked like stink for the rest of the 2 years. So things worked out all right in the end. The other story I remember from my university days had to do with the very first chemistry practical class that I ever had. We were told by the tutors to be terribly honest about writing up what happened. The very first experiment was to produce aspirin. Mine turned out to be pink, and so they failed me on that day. I learnt then and there that in order to get on in this world of a university chemistry school, and indeed the physics school, you made sure that you got the right results in the physics and chemistry practical classes. I did, mostly by rigging the results. That sounds dreadful, but if you rig results, you really have to learn and know more about the subject than if you did the experiment straight. Because you have to learn to look at an experiment from all sorts of different directions. It was all very good training.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
I was born in Brisbane. I was brought up for the first 7 or 8 years in Gatton Agricultural College, which was a good place to be brought up in. My father was an agronomist, and at that time he was running a fairly small research lab on the grounds of the agricultural college. I can remember lots of glass houses and pots with plants in them being given different fertiliser treatments. At night time my father would be there, pounding away at a calculating machine. It quite put me off biology. On the other hand, he had a hobby, which was audio amplifiers. So I can also remember huge electronic amplifiers, loudspeakers, and very loud classical music, which was rather louder than I could put up with. In any event, it did give me something of a feel for classical music. I went to various state schools until the year before what was called the scholarship year in Queensland. My father got a job in Ceylon, so I was sent off to boarding school and enjoyed myself very much. Particularly, having realised that I was not terribly keen on the politically correct sports of cricket and football, I joined a mob of kids who took to gymnastics. We became quite good at it and became quite respectable in the eyes of the school, so life improved greatly after that. The most important thing about the school was our maths teacher. He was a superb teacher and seemed to know the right balance between learning by rote and the understanding of something. To be honest, I don't go along with the current philosophy that you have to understand something before you can learn it. I think, in most things in life, it is exactly the opposite, particularly multiplication tables and things like that. If you don't learn to rote learn, you are missing a lot in life. That is my philosophy, and I'm sticking to it. Anyway, it was his teaching that carried me through at least the first couple of years of university mathematics. I went to university and majored in physics. I nearly failed the first year. I was living in St. John's College, and it was a great change from the constraints of a boarding school to the lack of constraints in a university college. I had a very good time. I can remember, in the middle of a physics exam at the end of a first year, suddenly realising that I could probably fail this subject because I hadn't done any work in it. But I just made it by the skin of my teeth. I enjoyed university life, but I can't really remember any of the lecturers or even the subjects much. I can remember that one of my pieces of luck was that my father had introduced me at an early age to a book called The Radio Amateur's Handbook. That was a superb book for teaching you the practicalities of electronics. In those days, if you didn't know any electronics, you didn't get very far in physics. Just the reading of that book when I had been a young teenager made a tremendous difference as to what I could get away with in the university. Indeed, I got a high distinction in physics in my second year. That little incident where I nearly failed the first year was also fortunate, because it gave me such a fright that I worked like stink for the rest of the 2 years. So things worked out all right in the end. The other story I remember from my university days had to do with the very first chemistry practical class that I ever had. We were told by the tutors to be terribly honest about writing up what happened. The very first experiment was to produce aspirin. Mine turned out to be pink, and so they failed me on that day. I learnt then and there that in order to get on in this world of a university chemistry school, and indeed the physics school, you made sure that you got the right results in the physics and chemistry practical classes. I did, mostly by rigging the results. That sounds dreadful, but if you rig results, you really have to learn and know more about the subject than if you did the experiment straight. Because you have to learn to look at an experiment from all sorts of different directions. It was all very good training.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.